Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10, 2 Peter chapter 3, and we are going to be discussing over the next few Sundays having victory over scoffers. We looked at having victory over the world, and no matter how wicked and how bad the world gets, we know that we have victory because we have Jesus Christ in our life. We know, as we read the back of the book, we win, right? God's people never lose. We don't lose. We win because we have Christ in our life. He has paid the price for us, and he is returning again to set up his kingdom, and we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to our adversary being cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. But this morning, we're starting to look at having victory over scoffers. How many of you realize that we live in a world that scoffs at the things of God? We live in a world that's anti-Christ. We have officials in different government places and just different places in our country, in our nation, in our states, in our cities, that have no regard for the things of God. They do not love God. They don't live a lifestyle that glorifies the Lord, and they scoff at the things that are all about God. Again, we just live in a world, you know, I'm glad that our country was founded upon biblical principles, but our country's gotten far away from that. We don't have, you know, near the many officials, you know, holding up the word of God. I'm glad that we did have a vice president who you saw his faith in office. He didn't hide his faith while he was the vice president, and people scoffed at it. People mocked him for it, you know, for not going to lunch, you know, alone with some other woman, that he always took his wife with him. And that speaks of a man who has convictions, a man who loves his wife and loves his Lord. And again, we need more men like that. And you and I can be the men and women that stand up for biblical principles and stand up for our Lord, knowing that he is on our side and he'll always protect us. But again, we face scoffers, whether in the workplace, our family, friends, people we know, even strangers, all right? But again, we're going to look at the victories that we have over the scoffers. And reading 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And Peter writes here, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So again, why is Peter writing this second epistle? Exactly, to help them remember. So, is it important for us to read our Bible? And why should we read our Bible? So we don't forget, so we remember the things that God has told us, right? And again, as Peter writes this, he's reminding them, he's repeating himself. He's telling them things they already know, but he tells them, first he says, "Beloved, you know, I love you. You know, you are my spiritual children in the faith. I am someone who has your best interest in mind." He says, I remind you of these things. I want to bring you into remembrance of these things. Verse 2, "that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets," speaking of the Old Testament, the Word of God, "and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." You know, was Jesus scoffed at when he was hanging on the cross? Right? They said, "If you're the Son of God, come down from there. Then we'll believe you." But they wouldn't believe him. All the miracles they saw, they definitely weren't going to believe him if he came down from the cross, because they were the children of the devil. They were children of Satan. But they scoffed Jesus, said, "Well, if you're the Son of God, then come down from there," right? Now, you will have people scoff at you You'll have people say, well, if God is so true, if God is so loving, why has he sent, people to hell? How would you answer that question? Because people do say that. If God is such a loving God, why does he allow people to go to hell? What would your answer be, Brother Mike?
It's our
choice. Choice. Right. Because people reject Christ. You know, because I was thinking about this, and we'll finish reading in a minute, but as you think about that statement that people make and that question, if God is so loving, why does he send people to hell? Again, it's people's choice. People can either choose to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ or choose not to. But when you think about if God is so loving, let me ask you, is God loving? Does God want anyone to go to hell? Because the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, right? But God is loving, and that's why he made a way of escape. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross so people don't have to go to hell. People don't have to die, you know, and spend an eternity separated from God, you know? So if you ever have somebody, and you probably will at some point have someone say to you, well, you know, if God is so loving, why does he allow good people to go to hell? Well, there's none good, right? The Bible says. But again, we can say back to that person, he is a loving father because he sent his only begotten son to die for you so that you won't have to go to hell. All right, and then that there is that choice. So we do serve a loving Heavenly Father. Again, we just have a lot of times people repeat what they hear. People repeat what they hear, all right? So look at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. What does that verse mean? What do you think that verse means? There's been many false interpretations of that verse. What do you think it means? When I say false interpretation, it means someone taking the verse and making it say something that it doesn't really mean. What do you think that verse means? A thousand years is one day, and one day is a thousand years. Sandra?
Time doesn't matter.
Yeah, God's not trapped in time, is he? We're trapped in time. So a thousand years to God is like one day, and one day is like a thousand years. I mean, he's not in time. He sees it. He sees everything. He knows the beginning and the end, and he knows when the end is coming. Let me ask you, do you believe that the end is coming? Do you think there is an end? And I'm looking forward to that end. The end to where I can see my Savior face to face. But we as God's people have to have this in the forefront of our mind, not the hinder part, not the back part of our mind, not on the back burner, but on the front burner, where, you know what? His return is imminent. His return is imminent. And with his return being imminent and getting closer and closer and closer, we know the devil's going to fight harder and harder and harder. The world's going to get worse and worse and worse. But as God's people, we have to be prepared to be able to stand on the promises of God's word, to stand on the convictions that we've been given by the Lord, and have that reason of the blessed hope within us to be able to give to people that ask or even scoff. Now, the Bible does tell us to be ready when someone asks about the reason of the hope that lies within you. And typically we think of that, oh, someone's going to ask like the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? You know, they're going to be nice about it. No, sometimes they're going to scoff at it. And that's still a reason to give your reason for having that hope within you. Why you believe what you believe, and hopefully you do believe that the Lord's return is imminent, that the Lord is going to return, and he's going to set things right, but will he find faith on the earth? He did ask that question, will he find faith on the earth when he comes back? I don't know, but I sure want him to find it in me, and I'm sure you want him to find it in you, where you're remaining faithful, all right? But having victory over scoffers, because we understand how humans are. We can easily, if we're not careful, can be swayed one way or the other. All right? How many of you, I don't know, I remember this. How many of you as a child were ever picked on? Okay. How often just think about it. Think about how often you may have given in to that. Because one of the big things that when I was a kid, that kids would say, and I would even say it too to other kids, or my sister, chicken. Come on, chicken, just do it. Right? And the more you say, the more you're called chicken, I mean, just the peer pressure, and finally, you know, if you didn't have a strong enough stand, you would just give in to it. I'm not chicken, and just, you know, do it, right? Others would, you know, others may have a stronger stand and can just turn their back on it and just keep doing what they know is right. Because I know one of our kids, when he was little, would suck his thumb. He didn't care where he was, in public, at a seekers program at church for kids, and standing on the line with his group sucking his thumb. And there was a kid that was making fun of him. And he was just sitting there, and the kids, I was on the other side, and it was a parent, you want to go over there and do something, but then it was so refreshing to see this child of ours just sucking his thumb and hearing what the kids say, and just turned his back to him and kept sucking his thumb. He didn't care, right? He's like, you know, me and my buddy go everywhere, right? I'm not giving up. So, you know, some people are not swayed by people, others have a harder time, all right? And this is where you and I together can have more confidence in Christ to help us to overcome those. Because, again, it doesn't stop when you become an adult. The scoffing, the making fun of, the, you know, trying to, the peer pressure does not stop when you hit a certain age. The tactics may change, right? But we can still stand for what's right and for what's true. Think about this. The best way to get victory over those that are scoffing the truth of God's word is obviously victory through God's promises. Again, standing on the promises of God, believing the promises of God, and holding the promises of God close to your heart. Now, we can obtain victory over... Nathan, can you do me a favor? Can you look at that thermostat and bump it up to 80? Trust me, it won't get 80 in here, but at least it'll get a little warmer. I just feel cold air up here. We can obtain victory over the scoffers through the promises of God. Though all else changes around us, the Word of God stands sure and unchanged. How many believe that the Word of God never changes? Has not changed from day one, right? It is the Word of God. Peter told his readers in verse number 2 of 2 Peter 3, he said, "Be mindful of the words which were spoken before. God did not inspire the thoughts, the moods, and feelings of the authors of Scripture. He inspired the very words." He inspired his very words. He used men to write his word, all right? His words are what are inspired. When the critics come, and they will, and they do, their first assault is often against the word of God. How many of you notice God's word is always attacked first? Always attacked first. Because you know what? If you can get people to discredit the word of God, And guess what? They have succeeded. The devil succeeded in the Garden of Eden by getting both Adam and Eve to discredit the Word of God. Now, obviously, we look in Scripture, the serpent came to Eve and beguiled her, and she ate of the fruit, but then she gave to her husband who was with her. All right? So the Word of God is always attacked first. What is the most important thing to a Christian? The Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, right? It's the Word of God that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God that the devil hates. He hates it so much that he will even use it against you. He'll twist it. He used it against Christ in the wilderness, all right? Again, and people will. It's amazing how some people don't go to church, don't read the Bible, they don't live for the Lord, they're not born again, they're not a Christian, but they know a little bit of Scripture to kind of throw it out there. Judge not. The Bible says judge not. You can't judge me. Totally taking it out of context. Because Jesus also said you'll know them by their fruits. Well, how will I know them by their fruits if I can't judge their actions, right? So again, scoffers, there are some scoffers that will kind of use the Word of God, but as you stand on the promises of God, you can have victory through the Word of God. Now, when critics question the validity of the Bible, we must stand firm in our faith in God's Word. Let me just encourage every one of us. Let the Word of God, let your Bible be something that is near and dear to your heart, that your hands grip. Without being crude, if I can just say it this way, let it be something that they have to fight to get it out of your hands. They have to get it out of your heart. Now, because again, it's good if I have a Bible, right? But what good does this do me if it's not in here? Because, I mean, if they take my Bible, I should still have enough Word of God in my heart that, okay, though I want my Bible, but yet I've got enough of it in my heart that I can meditate on it. I can quote it, right? I can use it, and it will help me. Again, the devil, the devil's okay if you have this. He's okay if you've got a book. That's all he wants. If you just view it as another book, another paperweight, just something I carry to and from church, if it's not in here, then you know what? He's got the upper hand. Then he's won. It's when this becomes so important that, like in Jeremiah was told to eat that scroll, and he ate it, and it was sweet in his mouth but bitter in his stomach. I mean, he was told to eat it all up, the Word of God. It is the one thing that should be near and dear to our hearts because the Lord speaks of it often. Jesus gives us the example in the wilderness, that's all. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Again, when critics question the validity of the Bible, we must stand firm in our faith in God's Word. When Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, he said, back in 1 Kings chapter 8, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise." How much of God's promise failed? Say it again. None. Because Solomon says of the Lord, according to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Now, God never fails. Every promise he's made has come to pass and will, if you and I will continue to trust it and believe it and stand upon his promises, we will see the faithfulness of God. And it is his word that helps us to overcome the scoffers because, again, when you think about Scripture, it really shouldn't be a surprise to us when our faith is scoffed at, whether indirectly or directly, because the Bible tells us that. Listen, like we were talking about last week, and I asked you, what is it that causes people to walk away from the faith, to walk away from church, to walk away from God? And you gave different answers for that. Here's another reason why people will walk away from church and walk away from their faith and walk away from God when they're being persecuted by a scoffer. When the peer pressure seems to be surmounting around them. And it's usually, again, it's the ones that are half-hearted. It's the ones that are one foot in the world, one foot in church. They're trying to live both lives, and it's like a teeter-totter, right? And man, the more the pressure is on the worldly side, man, it will push them over the edge. That's why we can't have one foot in the world and one foot in church, in walking with the Lord. Let me ask you this. How much of Christ was given on the cross? Say it again. All. He gave him whole self, right? Gave his whole body. He gave his whole mind to it. I mean, his whole being was given to it. And that's how much he loves you and loves me. He didn't just give us a little piece of his heart, but he gave us all of his heart. He continues to do that. Letter A, the words of the prophets. All right, the words of the prophets. The prophets who recorded the words of God did not always understand fully what those words meant. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, if should be in your notes, it of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now the prophecies of Scripture are certain because the man who wrote the Bible were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible is not merely Shakespearean in its nature. It is not just a great work of inspiring literature. It's not merely a book of great historical value due to its antiquity. It is the Word of God, and we need to listen to and heed what it says. Now, God inspired the very words of the prophets. And listen, if I think about this as well, this is something where many say, well, you know, it's just a book written by man. Yeah, God used man to pen the words, right? But if we get to a place where we allow ourselves to be influenced by the worldly persuasion that, you know, it's just a book. It doesn't really mean anything. Because there are many people that try to live out the faith without adding the Word of God to it. If we disannul the words of God, if we disallow it in our life, if we just discredit it, then what good is our faith? What good is our faith? What do we have to fight the devil with? And there are many that try fighting the devil without the sword of the Lord. And what is the sword of the Lord? The Bible, God's Word. It's the number one thing that will defeat the devil and give us the victory. Now, God inspired the very words of the prophets, and they faithfully recorded them, even when they did not fully comprehend them. Again, many people scoff at the Word of God, and many people say, well, listen, and I've heard even Christians who have bought into the lie, well, we don't have the originals. So, I mean, you know, we do the best that we can. You know, I forget where I was at. I may have been in some article I just recently got in my email or something, but there's currently over 2,000 translations of the Bible. Now, kind of take into account some of that. They're also adding, you know, different languages and stuff. All right, but I mean, if you were to go down to a Christian bookstore, you'd be hard pressed to find a King James Bible. But can you, I mean, just the fact that there is so many different versions of the Bible. And it's basically, it's all just a, it's a money market, because they're put out there, you know, for certain types of people. Because, I mean, how many of you would be interested in a camouflage Bible? Just the cover. I mean, just all kinds of different things, right? But it's the content on the inside that matters. It's the content on the inside that is important. And there are those that will scoff and say, well, you know, there's so many different versions. You know, just pick one that fits you. But that's not the way God works. That's not the way God did work. Now, he gave his word. He inspired his word. Again, when somebody says, and this is something you'll have to think about, because many people are being drawn away from the truth because of someone saying, well, we don't have the originals. Let me ask you, did Moses give the originals to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai? Because remember, when he came down the first time and the people were drinking and partying around the golden statue, what did he do with the tablets? He threw them down and broke them. The very tablets that God carved out of the mountain and God's finger wrote on those tablets the first time, Moses threw them down. Well, there goes those. And guess what happened? Moses goes back up to the top, and what did God tell him to do? He said, okay, now you hew you out some stones and get writing. God did it the first time, but then he made Moses do it the second time. And don't think that Moses missed a word. God told him exactly what to write down. You think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah sitting in prison for his faith, and God tells him to write things down, send it to the king. He sends it to the king. The king is sitting there reading it, takes a pen knife, the Bible says, cuts it all up, throws it in the fire. It goes out original. Now what do we do? See, the thing is, God's the author. And if God's the author, then guess what? What he says, cut it up, throw it away. I know what I said, and I'm going to have you write it down again, because you read, and he tells Jeremiah, all right, start writing again. Write everything you wrote the first time, and then what else I'm going to tell you to write. So again, that's just another tactic of the devil to get people, God's people, to discredit God's word. All right? Again, when you believe with all your heart that you do, you have the word of God, God will guide you. You'll find truth. You'll find the ability to stand upon the promises of God's word and have the confidence to stand against scoffers that ridicule the word of God and scoffers that will even ridicule your faith. Do you think about, letter B is the words of the apostles. All right, we have the words of the prophets, the Old Testament, the words of the apostles, the New Testament. I want you to go letter C for time's sake. Letter C, the words of the Lord. The words of the Lord. Jesus gave testimony to the reliability of Scripture. He quoted from many Old Testament writers and always placed confidence in what was written. The Bible shows us the power and the nature of God. How can you and I get to know God better? Read his word. From cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, God reveals himself to us in his word. He reveals his faithfulness. He reveals his power to us. He reveals the fact that you and I are his children and we can come unto him. Again, he quoted many, Jesus quoted many from the Old Testament writers and always placed confidence in what was written. The Bible shows us the power and nature of God. Until a man meets Jesus Christ, he cannot expect to understand the Bible. No person can expect to understand the Bible until they have Christ as their Savior. I remember as a little boy, my mom had given me a Bible, and every now and again, usually when I was in trouble, when I was sent to my room and had to stay there, bored to death, I'd pull it out and just see what it had to say, but I remember always just being drawn to it when I opened it and just not understanding it, but you could sense something is different about this book because it's a book that's alive. It's a book that was written by our God, our Savior, who is alive. And just, it does, it draws, but you can't understand it. I remember I didn't understand anything it said, but I knew something was different about it. All right, listen, you have Christ in you. Don't stop learning the Bible. Don't stop reading it. Don't stop allowing it to change you and to guide you and direct you. Because Psalm 119 tells us, thy word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word guides us. It gives us the ability to do what God calls us to do and helps us to keep focused, helps us to keep our faith. Now, Samuel Adams, one of the leaders of the Sons of Liberty and the fight for American independence, said, quote, the right of freedom is the gift of Almighty God. The right of freedom is the gift of God Almighty. These principles are clearly given in the New Testament. And that is what Samuel Adams said. He understood the power and authority of the promises of God. So think about the truth of God's word. It's the number one thing that the devil wants to get out of the hands of all people, young and old. And I would ask you to evaluate your own life. How important is the word of God to you? Because if the word of God is not that important to us that we can go days without reading it, months without reading it, then guess what? The devil has the upper hand in your life. And he'll have the upper hand in my life as well. Because it's the number one thing that God uses to warn us about the devil's tactics. Again, I've said before, it's really not the person in front of you that's the enemy. It's the one behind that person. It's the spiritual enemy. It's the devil. It's our adversary that is truly our enemy. And if we want to have victory over the things of this world and over those that are trying to pressure us in different ways, we have to really adhere to the word of God. It's what he's given us. Now, I see Christians who even roll their eyes when I say that and kind of, you know, they check out. Not talking about in here. I'm just saying Christians in general. I've seen Christians, when you talk about the word of God, they're just kind of, you know, oh, whatever, here we go again. You know, that's exactly the attitude of the devil. That's the attitude of an unbeliever. Because this is our lifeline. This is what helps us. This is what helps us to stay true to our Savior. This is what helps to give us the confidence that we need that, you know what, I'm on the right path. Because again, the Lord remembers our frame is but dust. The Lord also knows that their peer pressure is great. Their peer pressure from the world, from relatives. Now, I mean, if you've got a strong stand, praise the Lord for that, but don't give up on the strong stand. Don't find yourself in a place thinking, okay, well, you know, I'm strong enough so I can kind of relax. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants us to relax. And we're just living in that day. Listen, I would love if the Lord would silence all news media. I mean, I would love the fact if when people turn on their TVs, their computers to watch CNN or any of those, that they wouldn't hear anything. Because all those news media do nothing but blaspheme the name of God and blaspheme our faith and all kinds of things. And it really is. It's a danger. Because again, if there's a Christian who is half-hearted in their faith, they're going to lean towards what they think. Well, they're not going to lie to me, right? I mean, what they're saying is true, right? I mean, the news media, I mean, they report the facts, right? I mean, there's not someone that, you know, that's on television or on YouTube, you know, that has a Bible in front of me. They're not going to lie to me, right? How many of you understand that? You cannot believe everything that you see on TV or hear, right? But we are. We're living in those days. We're living in the days where Peter talks about the scoffers. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Now, there's been scoffers since day one. But again, as we get closer to the return of Christ, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And as it's getting worse, God wants us to become stronger and stronger and stronger in our faith. He wants us to become more steadfast and more settled in Christ as we move forward. Again, this may not be a struggle for you, but know that the devil's not going to give up. He's going to continue looking for an avenue. And listen, it doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been saved. We still have an adversary. You still have an adversary that wants to sift you like wheat. And you know what? There's going to be people coming in through those doors that are not going to be strong in the faith like you. Guess what they need? They need you to come alongside them and encourage them, because they've been in the world hearing all the lies, and they're searching for the truth. They come in here, and they deceive people and hear people that believe the truth and are standing upon the truth, that will come alongside them and show them the love of Christ and really not condemn them, but to help them. And we're just living in some wonderful days where Christ can be lifted up among his people, young and old, and where we can really have an effect upon people. All right? Any comments or questions? Who's on the Lord's side? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you that, Father, you have allowed us to be on your side, that you have called us into this wonderful fellowship. And Father, we know that your word is true. Father, we know that it will never lead us astray. It's exactly what we need. It's exactly what helps us to defend ourselves from the wiles of the devil. Help us, Lord, to continue to learn how to master the word of God, learn how to hide it in our hearts and to meditate upon it and to allow it to truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But Lord, as we are surrounded by scoffers and we'll be maybe scoffed at indirectly or directly, help us, Lord, just to stand our ground, to stand upon the firm foundation that has been laid before us, and that is Jesus Christ, knowing that if God be for us, who can be against us? Knowing that, yeah, there will be those that scoff at the word of God, they scoff at the promises, they scoff at the coming of Christ, but Lord, help none of that deter us from following you faithfully and keeping our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you again, Father, for the time we can have together. Do pray that you would continue to guide us throughout today. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.